This is PFW in Progress.
The precious, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you wanted. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answer.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
Turn your button on.
My button needs to be on.
Tremendous start to this.
Oh, here we are. PFW in Progress. Yeah, we started on a high note.
Good thing you're the boss, or you might get fired.
Okay. It's even better that I don't have the little machine in here for some sound effects for you.
All right, turn down the music. All right, Fred Kirsch and Andy Hart here until 2 o'clock. Taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And, Andy, it's Wednesday.
It is.
That means it's media day. It's good to get back in the swing of things with the bye week behind us. Get ready for the Bills. Bill Belichick had his press conference today around 10:30. Was there open locker room already?
There was. I was there.
Tom Brady just got off the podium. So fill us in on what happened today so far.
Well, first of all, no, I wouldn't say any significant news in terms of roster transactions or any of that. But what's going on back there?
I don't know. We've got...
We're hearing stuff. We're hearing a show open again.
Okay.
Well done. He stopped it. No roster moves, anything of that nature. Obviously, fans probably know the Patriots have an open roster spot. I would assume that will go to practice squad offensive lineman Billy Yates. I noticed he was awarded the practice player of the week jersey this week. You know, they wear the black jersey during practice for this week, thanks to last week's work. But the injury to Russ Hochstein, you're probably down a man there in the middle as a backup lineman. So Yates might get the call up later in the week. Bill said they're discussing some things. But, you know, they're getting back to work, preparing for the Bills. A lot of the talk, kind of two focal points. One is picking up where they left off. Rodney Harrison said, you know, we were really starting to click heading into the bye. Bill's not going to let us come out lethargic. We need to get back to that level. And the other one, in terms of the central message, I guess, preparing for the Bills, is the fact that they're really pounding home that they were a fourth down play away from maybe kind of putting that first game out of hand.
And that's true.
And there's no question. They controlled that game right up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Don Davis came up with the play was asked about in the press conference again. Bill really gave some praise on the play to Vince Wilfork and Mike Wright for stepping up front, making a play. And said Don Davis is sort of the extra safety on that play, the second linebacker in that goal line type set. He's the free man, so he needs to make the tackle, but the job was kind of, you know, done up front. And then, he's talked about the Bills. His usual type of praise of an opponent, even though the Bills are coming off a very tough loss to the previously winless Lions, where the Lions just exploded offensively. Kevin Jones had 125 yards. Roy Williams had 100 and something yards. I think 270 something from Kitna. So the Lions really put up a lot of yards against that Bills defense that you think is so dominant.
They've given up.
So, you know, he kind of paints the picture that probably they're a better team than they are. But they know firsthand that the Bills, at least against the Patriots, came in and, you know, were on the verge of shocking them. From the get-go with the Takeo Spikes play.
If the Patriots had blown them out and that first game, it wouldn't have mattered.
Right, right. But now it does matter. Yeah, it's the contradiction we see from Bill Belichick, and I have no problem with it on a weekly basis, getting his team prepared to play. But I think that the real key for them is not taking a step back in the bye, getting the momentum back, and then proceeding to build forward from here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were definitely improving, started to see some turnovers. You know, Rodney Harrison had to play a couple picks for Samuel on defense. They need to get back to that and then build on that. Other news, you know, the usual cohorts in the locker room getting the big crowds. Harrison, I know Mike Roosevelt Colvin said, when you're winning, everything's cookies and cakes, and right now everything is cookies and cakes.
Yeah.
And that was in between his business that he was working on. He was using the locker room scale that they have for weigh-ins to weigh a package that he was shipping through his UPS business. He's an interesting guy to keep an eye on in the locker room.
Well, I love the quote that he had about the bye week in PFW where he can't see paying anyone to rake leaves.
Right, right.
You know, he's pretty cheap.
He is pretty cheap. But I got to tell you, I think he does it
the way
thrifty. I would do it.
He's thrifty.
I think he does it. Okay. If I had money, I'd be the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, he drives a Bentley. It's not like he's out there in a Toyota Corolla.
True.
He drives a Bentley. So when he's going to buy something and invest in it, he goes for the best.
And he researches it probably.
Right, no
and,
question.
Yeah,
you know, he talked about doing that, you know, thinking about a business and getting into UPS and opening that store in Indiana. So I think he does that. He just sees the other stuff. You know, I can rake leaves. Why am I going to pay a guy $100 to rake leaves?
Right. But you would think, like a pro athlete, you know, other than the bye week, they're doing something every day.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is go home and rake leaves.
Especially for him, who he's running a business.
Right.
He's
right.
A hands-on business owner.
Right.
So you'd think he'd say, well, you know what? I'm making money on UPS and football. I can pay some kid or some landscaper to rake my yard. But
right.
He doesn't see it that way.
No, no.
Other than that, as I said, not a ton of news coming out. I got blown off by Doug Gabriel, so he's on my list now.
Uh-oh.
Not a big fan.
No, you don't want to get on Andy Hart's list.
That's right. I'll start talking about how your, you know, numbers have gone down in successive weeks as you performed, and you can't get off the line of scrimmage.
Him, Bonnie Bernstein.
That's
who
right.
else? Who else is on that list?
That is an interesting question.
Yeah. We'll have to figure out the list.
Sometimes you can get your way off of it, but you got to you got to earn your way off of it.
Right.
Right now, Doug Gabriel's on it.
Okay. Jabbar Gaffney, was he available?
Nope. There were Gabriel may have been the only receiver I saw come through the locker room. Not a lot of receivers. Rookies are not talking at all again.
Okay.
I know Tom tried to get Dave Thomas for a story he's working on, and he said, sorry, man, can't talk.
Uh-oh.
So the rookies are off limits again.
So now Thomas is on Tom's list.
I don't think so, because it's not, you know, it's not Dave Thomas's fault. He's just
following
orders.
Yeah.
You know, Tom talked to Daniel Graham for a story he's working on for PFW, a little bit about, you know, kind of the usual, him not getting the ball. And, you know, he's talking about how it is difficult to get used to the fact that you're just not going to get the ball that much, and kind of playing out the year. And
getting ready for free agency.
You definitely get the impression from him that he's looking forward to free agency and definitely has an open mind about going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which, you know, may be unfortunate for this team. He's played a good role for this team. I think he's been a little bit of a bust in terms of trading up to the 21st pick and what he was able to accomplish as an athlete and a playmaker in college, but he's been a key contributor to winning here.
Oh, sure.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but that's obviously down. I mean, you have the same story with Asante Samuel. I'm working on a story on the two corners for the upcoming issue, and, you know, I talked to Harrison today. He thinks Samuel has developed into one of the best corners in the league. But he's another guy heading into free agency who may or may not be looking to get paid.
Yep. So those are things that are going to be ongoing stories. As we know, the trading deadline came and went yesterday at 4 o'clock. No movement by the Patriots. A couple moves out there.
Booger McFarland.
Yeah, the Colts signed Buchanan after he was released. Booger McFarland went from...
Oh, no, the Colts didn't sign.
I thought they signed Philip Buchanan.
No, I don't believe so.
I thought they did. I just saw that on NFL.com.
I believe it's a different team. The Colts traded for Booger McFarland. I believe.
Okay.
Buchanan signed with a Florida team, maybe? Maybe the Bucks.
Maybe the University of Miami. They're a pro team, right?
They don't play at a pro level. They're pro level punks is what they are.
Yeah.
But Booger McFarland, yes, went to the Colts for a second round pick.
Oh, Bucks send McFarland to Colts and then sign Buchanan.
Right.
Okay.
I think, personally, the Colts overpaid there. McFarland's been on the downswing, hasn't had great years of late, but the Colts haven't been able to stop the run. Obviously, they had the Corey Simon issue where he developed that polyarthritis.
Is that what they're saying, what it is
now?
Yeah,
and put him on NFI, and you know he's basically done for them. So they needed some help, a big body in the middle, but a second-round pick in the modern NFL trade landscape, that's a high price to pay. Plus, he's a guy who makes a lot of money.
Yeah. A couple offensive coordinators got canned.
Interesting.
Jim Fossil from the Ravens. I always thought they had too many cooks there anyway. They got Neuheisel, they got Billick, they got Fossil, all guys who were just head coaches or head... You know, I didn't,
and all offensive guys, too.
You know, and I didn't see how that would work anyway, but I guess they were kind of hoping that Fossil would get a head coaching job before the season started. He never did, so now Billick is basically going to take over
right. The
offensive play calling. And then in the Cardinals, I mean, that's a mess right there. The whole Dennis Green tirade yesterday, I don't know if you've seen that, but it's
I'm sure people have seen it. That's been everywhere.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. If you need to see it, just type in Dennis Green, and it'll be the first thing that pops up. Some people think that was planned.
Yes, I have seen that post. I'm not sure if it was planned or not. I think he lost his cool. I think it was an emotional reaction. I mean, that was a tough loss for them.
Yeah.
That's one that can, you know, they're at a point where with Dennis Green and Matt Leinart, they could go either of two ways. Okay, we are building. We have put the foundation in place, or it's not working, but we have Leinart. We need to start building, and that might be without Dennis Green. I've already seen, there's already rumors out there of Pete Carroll being linked, or, you know, reunion with Matt Leinart and everything. But it's looking like they might... What the heck was that?
Stacey James just announced he has credentials if you want to pick them up.
Oh, good. Why are we hearing it?
It's on that TV over there.
Okay. But no, I think Dennis Green might be on the way out in Arizona, and that's the kind of pressure that causes you to have an explosion. Can you grab that remote and please mute that TV? This show is a complete debacle with you at the helm.
I have to hit mute. Okay, good.
Jeez.
I got it.
You're having a tough day, huh?
I don't know. I didn't even know that TV was on.
You were in here forever listening to Brady, weren't you?
Not really.
But he was obviously playing on that
TV. I had my
TV.
Headphones on. I was listening it through here.
But yes, Bill was asked about the moves. Obviously didn't really have an answer. Fell back in his own. I'm sure those organizations made the decision they thought was best for them. I think it's a little... How do you change coordinators? You know, all the talk is the receivers aren't on the same page, haven't been here long enough. Well, now you're changing a coordinator, the person who oversees a unit of your team. I got to think that's tough to do.
And I also think it was scapegoating.
Oh, there's no question it was scapegoating in Arizona. And, you know, Dennis Green's an offensive-minded kind of guy. You know, even back to the days when Brian Billick was his coordinator with the Vikings, he had some input there. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to do it, and I'm sure Billick is going to kind of oversee it. So there probably won't be a huge change, but I guess it's basically the play calling. You know, when you take a guy out, it's saying, I need to remove you from the play calling because that's hurting us. We're just not getting it done. I just don't think, especially for the Ravens, what are they, 4-2? I mean, they're a competitive AFC contender. This can go one or two ways. You know, maybe it'll make them a better offense. Maybe they'll start winning because they've obviously had problems on offense, but you're also upsetting the cart a little bit.
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, I think most teams, what they would do in that situation, even if it was the offensive coordinator, they kind of secretly and quietly, the play calling would, you know, go to the coach and the coordinator would kind of take a back seat. And then at the end of the year.
And it's happened.
To do it so publicly, you know, right now.
That's happened. I mean, Sean Payton, who's now the glamour boy head coach for turning the Saints around, had the play calling taken away by Fossil, I think.
Parcells took it away from Weiss when Parcells was with the Patriots.
There's plenty of good coaches that have had to kind of take a step back for some period of time for some reason.
Yep.
But the biggest news, no Moss. No Randy Moss in New England.
Well, you know, and nowhere else either.
I mean,
you know, both Moss and Porter were rumored to be out in the block, and neither happened. So.
Instead, they'll just not care and not play for the Raiders.
Yeah, I guess.
So, I don't know what the Raiders are doing.
So now, what is it? The actual trade deadline, does that mean, like, after this date, there can be no trades? Or if there is a trade, then it affects next year?
I believe there's no more
trades. So there can be no more trades.
I believe it's a true trade deadline.
Okay.
Yes.
So
now there was a different rule this year about the cap money. You could divvy it; wouldn't all be accelerated to this year's cap. You could divvy it up over 2 years' caps. That was a new thing under the CBA, but I believe the deadline is still a hard deadline. If you don't make a trade by today, you're not trading.
Right.
So the Raiders are sitting on two highly paid potential star wide receivers and get nothing for them. I mean, I'm sure they'll try to trade them in the offseason, but I heard Adam Schefter coming in. I was listening to him on one of the local stations. He thinks it's a case where the Raiders just aren't in a position to make decisions. Al Davis is still the decision maker, but he's not in position to make quick decisions. He wants to think about it, and it takes him forever. Well, this wasn't a case where you could think about it. Obviously, you had a day. Kind of a complicated issue because the other team would probably want to restructure the contract and a lot going on, and they're just not in a position to make quick decisions anymore.
Well, that's too bad. But, you know, we'll see. We're going to get to the emails in a minute, but a lot of the people, Patriots fans, are kind of happy the Patriots didn't get Moss.
Yeah, those are the people that expect him to be the bad guy here and disrupt everything. Just in terms of talent and on the field, I don't know how you can be happy that you didn't, because I think he'd be fun to watch. I think he would just transform this offense. You'd add the big play I was just talking about immediately, because he can get open down the field. Yep. Now, there are some out there who believe he's not the receiver he was back in his 110 catch days, that he has diminished skills. I still think he becomes the number one immediately on this roster.
Yeah, I absolutely do. And if nothing else, he opens the middle wide open. I mean, you put him down the sideline, at least two people have to, know where he is at all times. Graham and Watson, it's going to open up the middle for them. Right.
And I still think I watched a little bit of the game the other night, and he was getting open. He was in the end zone, and a poorly thrown ball cost him a touchdown. But yeah. I saw him beat the corner, and the corner was chasing him down the field. So I think he can still get open. I think he'd be an immediate impact player here. And I personally believe that if they could get it done on their terms, they being, Belichick, Pioli regime here, I think they would take him. I don't think they have him on any sort of do not acquire list.
I would have loved it.
I think everybody in the media would. Yeah. I think all the fans would, except for the ones that have that fear that he's going to disrupt something. Yeah. You know, our friend Ken Flanders, I'm sure, would love it to add the number 18 Moss jerseys to the pro shop list. And, I think he would have brought a little excitement and intrigue to the offense.
Let's see. Email address is webradio@pitches.com. Tom got his iPod.
Yes, he did. He did, and he's already fallen in love with using it. Mr. I can't use technology, apparently he's downloading left and right.
And he says he's the kind of guy that if it's really easy to do something, he just kind of does it on impulse. So the whole one-click buying of the music is not good for him.
Yeah, that could be dangerous because it's only 99 cents, but it adds up pretty fast.
He's already downloaded Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah, he's got issues.
Yeah, Vanilla, what is it? Vanilla Cream?
Vanilla Ice. Easy.
What?
Vanilla Ice. You've never heard of Vanilla Ice?
No, I have. That's the name. I forget the name.
You don't remember the whole... He was big for a while.
He was a one-hit wonder, right?
He had a couple. He had like...
Is that the guy that was
a couple?
Was lip-syncing and they called him... They found
out... Oh, that was Milli Vanilli.
Oh, Milli Vanilli.
Yes.
That wasn't Vanilla Ice.
No.
I knew it had vanilla in it.
Yes, Milli Vanilli were lip-syncing. They were...
Okay.
But Vanilla Ice was really... But his whole thing, he got in trouble because they stole the beat or whatever to that, the dum-dum-dum-da-da-dum-dum.
Oh, yeah?
And they tried to claim it wasn't it. There was one little bit that was different, but they stole it, and they lost all their money from that. And he also tried to claim that he was, kind of from the tough neighborhoods. He tried to be Eminem when he wasn't really Eminem back then, and
I see.
He kind of lost his appeal. Now he's all tattooed, and he was doing, for a while, he was doing punk rock, and then he was a professional motorcycle driver, and... He's a weird character.
Okay. Anyway.
Tom loves him, though.
Yeah. Pete from Princeton, New Jersey says, get Mr. Kraft to give you guys a real radio station, then stream it so I don't have to listen to 6 months of off-season Red Sox talks during Pat season on EEI. Hey, it could happen someday.
Listen to ESPN Radio Boston 890.
Yeah.
Lots of Patriots talk on there.
On the off-season? During the off-season?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. And he says, about James, the iPod guy, you're going to get James fired and arrested. Don't support his degenerate gambling and work theft. He may also kill you.
Well, we don't know that he stole it, right? We don't know for sure that he stole it.
I didn't even know if that was a question.
I think it's a little bit of a question.
It came from in an Apple box from Apple.
Doesn't he work there?
I don't know. Does he?
I thought he said he worked there.
Apple's in California. James is in Indiana.
No, I think he works at a store.
Oh.
I mean, he's a store manager.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
I thought that was the story.
Oh.
Not sure we want to just be throwing this out there in case maybe he did take the five-finger discount.
I'm sure James is listening. He can clear it up. But
yeah, but if he has it on, like, speaker in the office or something, he could get in trouble.
Oh, it's all legit. It's all legit.
If it is legit and there's any way the rest of us can get him, I'd love
that.
I'm stuck with my old-school black-and-white, whatever generation that was, iPod.
Oh, you have the old iPod with the little screen.
It has a smaller screen, too. I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's black and white, and it doesn't do anything but music, so I get screwed.
What would you do with it if you had the video iPod?
I would watch videos.
I'd probably watch
stuff on the plane, I would think.
Okay.
It's easy. I don't use the laptop thing, because you got to take it out and start it. The iPod would be easy to just watch something in your palm of your hand.
Sure.
So I'd love one, James. I'll give you some advice. I'll pick the number one team in the country.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Reports out now that it's pretty much confirmed that the Patriots are going to replace that strip of grass in between the hash marks. There is not going to be field turf. There's not a written rule, but I guess there's a rule that...
Which is funny. It's not a written rule, so did you make it up?
I guess the competition committee, maybe Bill Polian, who knows. Once you start the season with a certain type of surface, you can't switch to another surface in mid-season. You have to wait till the season's over. So,
to which I say, the joke there is, well, you started with dirt. How can you go to grass now?
Right. It has to be a natural progression.
Right.
So the idea of Patriots putting in field turf, I thought that was a little far-fetched anyway. I mean, how could they have done that in 2 weeks?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if everything went perfectly and they didn't have weather problems and everything was ready to go, maybe they could, but it sounds like it would have been a stretch, a tough thing to get done.
So the Patriots will be replacing that strip in the middle, as they've done in the past.
Speaking of the field, did you notice coming in that they've repainted the field different colors now? Is it supposed to be
I know.
It's for Game Plan, the movie.
Are they still filming?
Yeah, they have a couple more days
filming
of filming
really?
Here.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's now a different field in the movie because all the color, it's now blue and yellow, and the end zones are blue and yellow. Before it was like maroon.
Maybe
and
they
something.
Have to do an away game now.
Aren't people going to notice, hey, that looks like the exact same stadium with just a different paint job?
Oh, come on, they can do anything in the movies. They did Lord of the Rings. They can do Game Plan.
Probably.
You know, they
that
can make
CGI
it look
CGI crap.
Absolutely. Pixar.
But yes, there's going to be new sod on this field for the next game here, which is the next game is the Colts. November 5th?
Yeah, because there's two road games in a row.
At Minnesota.
Buffalo and at Buffalo, at Minnesota. Then they come home for the Colts.
And there's also reports out there that there's the tentatively scheduled, and this is just reports, Pro Football Talk, that the Patriots-Dolphins game could be a Sunday night game in Miami, December.
I think they might change that.
I think that's very tentative, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the... In fact, I'll do that as we go through the show. I want to look at the other games that week. I know...
Well, the one that everyone thought would be the Patriots and the Bears, but I guess that's a protected game.
And it's an obvious
by
one.
By Fox.
That's a great game.
By Fox, and they don't want to lose it.
Why would you... I would never let that up from Fox.
Right.
That is a great football game.
Right.
So, that's an obvious one. And my understanding is, just to clarify, because on that same day, there's Philly at Indianapolis game, I believe, that would also be a Fox game. I'm going to have to look through this real quickly. But they have blocks. When's that Bears game? Green Bay, New England, Miami. When the hell's that Bears game?
It's in there somewhere.
Chicago at New England. Okay, well, that same day, you have Philadelphia at Indy, which would be another Fox game with the NFC team visiting the AFC. So I'm guessing Fox is using two of their blocks on that weekend because those are two very, you have the whole McNabb, Manning angle,
sure.
The Colts, two very good teams. But that other weekend, week 14, you have New England at Miami. Some of the other game, there's a Thursday night game that weekend. Oh, yeah, that's right. NFL Network, Thursday Night Football. Atlanta at Tampa, no. Baltimore, Kansas City, no. Buffalo at Jets, no. Indianapolis at Jacksonville.
That could be a good game.
Yeah. Minnesota at Detroit, no. New Orleans at Dallas.
That could be a decent game. Yeah, Reggie Bush.
Giants at Carolina. Could be a decent game.
Yeah.
Oakland at Cincinnati, no. Philly at Washington, no. Tennessee, Houston, no. Green Bay, San Francisco, no. Seattle, Arizona, no. Denver at San Diego, is a 4:15 game, but that could be moved to
that
Sunday.
That could be
night,
moved.
Right?
Yep, it could be.
So
there's so quite
I
a
would
few
say
games that
that New England at Miami game will not be a Sunday night game,
right?
Unless these people really overvalue the AFC
rivalry.
Hey, man,
we could get lucky and not have any night. We could have all Sunday at 1.
That would really pork us, too. If that went from a 1 o'clock in Miami to a night game, that just ruins everything.
Yeah, yeah. Although you could swim in the pool during the day.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And we can stay out a little later the night before.
Well, I'm not interested in all that with you young guys.
Yes, you are.
Webradio@pitch.com is the email address. Let's see. This is from Tim. Says, I don't think anyone can say now that Branch is not the real deal. I was one of the who said he wasn't the real deal?
Well, I've argued that he's not the real deal, and
I
don't change it.
To this day, I wish he was on the Patriots.
Well, there's two questions there, though. Everybody would like him on the Patriots, but is he an elite number one wide receiver? Because those are the types of money he was branching
into. Elite? No. Anyway, he says, I was one of the Patriots fans that said Brady made Branch look better than he really was. Now I'm changing my tune. How big of a mistake do you think letting Branch go was?
I think it was a mistake.
I think for the money, though, I think it didn't work out the way they hoped it would.
It became
There's no doubt about
such
it.
An issue, such an issue where they wanted to give him a true extension. They didn't want to rip up this year's contract. You know, it became the negotiations kind of seemed to have they went south, and they weren't good negotiations anymore. And it reached
a point
where
he wasn't. A lot of ego got into that one.
Right, and it reached a point where he wasn't coming back. It's unfortunate. There's no question he'd be the number one right now. He'd make the offense better. He's a very productive player, but it was a lot of money to pay him, and I don't necessarily think it was an awful decision. It just looks awful with the end result being they don't have any receivers that are productive.
Also, have you ever seen a worse group of announcers than the Monday Night Crew? I've never seen anyone flip-flop more in 3 hours than Tony Kornheiser does on Monday nights. If he's not contradicting himself, he's talking about his dumb fantasy football team. Charles Barkley sitting in the booth outshined every single one of them. It's painful to watch.
Yes, I agree. They stink. And Barkley's good, so it's not surprising.
Barkley's good because he always just says what he's thinking. And,
right up until the point he gets fired like Steve Lyons.
Right.
Because that's the game you play. And I think that's the line that Kornheiser is kind of supposed to walk. He's supposed to be that guy that says things that are outside of the realm of the normal announcers.
The problem with Kornheiser and Theismann, it just seems like now they're in a competition now that everything they say has to be this grand statement.
Yes, I
you know,
hate
it's
that.
We should be hinged on every word they say because it's now the definitive, statement that's going to be on a plaque somewhere on a wall.
And they really
didn't need to be that way.
The other night when I think Kornheiser said, could you ask for a better start for a rookie quarterback? And Theismann goes, no. Could you ask for a better start for any quarterback? They really were trying to one-up each other.
It's crazy,
Wow, I guess they are. And they both stink.
Yeah.
Tirico, I guess, is just fine. I don't necessarily lump him in as awful.
No, he's fine. He's okay.
And Belichick likes him, I believe.
Yeah, Tirico's okay.
But those other two,
people
it's just
around the office.
Right. That's Fred Kirsch, Patriots.com.
Oh, that's public knowledge. It's not like
it is.
Yeah.
It's public rumor, I think.
I heard it on the radio.
So?
Okay.
There's a lot of irresponsible people working on the radio these days.
Okay.
I've been on the radio, and I'm as irresponsible as anyone.
It was in a book, too, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was kind of more rumor and innuendo than necessarily fact. So
anyway.
You might want to walk carefully there.
Let's see.
That's like saying, I saw it on the Internet.
Bertoni writes in, I was wondering what the rule is with guys who are on a team's practice squad as far as game days are concerned. Are the players required to be at every game? Is it voluntary? What's the skinny on that? Any clarification would be greatly appreciated. You do a great job.
I don't think a league rule requires them to be at the game, but
it's a team-by-team thing. How
based on seeing
that.
All the guys walk through the press box, past the lunchroom, and into a booth here at Gillette Stadium, I think the Patriots like their practice squad players to be in the booth, and it seems like, for the most part, they are here at the facility watching the game from up above.
Okay. Let's see. Colin writes in, and he's from Connecticut. Says, wanted to say I'm glad there's no Moss sightings at Gillette Stadium because I believe that Gaffney, Brown, Jackson with more growth and Doug Gabriel will be enough to help the Patriots be playoff contenders, if not Super Bowl contenders. Okay.
That's the key. Now, whether they can or they can't, that's the key.
Yeah.
You need to get production, better production, more dangerous threat from your receivers on the outside.
Yep.
Now, whether they can or can't, that's going to hinge This team, I think they have a good enough defense to be a Super Bowl contender. I think they have a good enough offensive line and running game to be a Super Bowl contender. But I think they need to be balanced somewhat offensively to take the step to where you say, you know what, they're one of the elite teams.
Yep.
And I have we seen anything that says, oh, that's definitely going to happen? Because I don't think we have. I think we've seen flashes from Gabriel.
But I also haven't seen things that say that it definitely can't. So
no, definitely not. Right. But at this point in the year, you're talking about the sixth game of the season.
Right.
You'd hope you have seen a little more, maybe, to say, you know what, I really think
I just haven't seen enough of Jackson.
Right.
We just haven't seen enough.
He's the key. He's the guy, because, you know, you talk about speed, or he has it all. He can catch, he has the size, he has the speed. He can be an elite guy. But is he going to be an elite guy in the next 11 weeks? That could be the difference between a very good offense or a mediocre, inconsistent offense.
Here's some fact or fiction. You ready?
Sure.
Fact or fiction, Terrell Owens will blow up at Bledsoe and Parcells after the Cowboys' next loss and be suspended and shut down.
Fiction.
Fiction.
He won't be suspended.
He might
shut
be
down.
Blow up, but he won't be suspended.
The head coach, the owner of that team is an enabler, and he'll step in on Terrell's behalf.
They've got, what, 3 road games in a row?
Is that what it
Something
is?
Like that. I guess, you know, their next 3 games, they've got some tough games coming up, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Fact or fiction, Mark Brunell will show that he is not a great quarterback and will be benched within the next few games.
Fact. I think he's already shown he's not a great quarterback, and I think, yes.
Well, I mean, he's been in the league for a long time.
The Jason Campbell era will start. I just have, did I say error? Era.
Era.
Will start. You know, seems like the whole thing there, and Todd Collins is in the mix, is that whole Al Saunders playbook keeps popping up. You know, is Jason Campbell comfortable in the 700 pages or whatever that Al Saunders has for a playbook? I think that's the real stumbling block there.
Fact or fiction, Heath Evans is a better all-around player than Patrick Pass.
Fact.
You think fact?
I think it's close. I think they do some things that are similar,
yeah.
very much the same, and now you're saying, well, Evans is probably, Pass is probably a little better athlete, can return kicks, but is Evans a little better in terms of blocking on special teams? And I think they have different roles in some of those areas. I think they're very similar. And as listeners to the show know, I hold it against Patrick Pass for dropping the ball when his hamstring hurt.
Okay, so you're saying fact. Fact or fiction, the following Patriots will not wear this uniform next season. Dan Graham, Troy Brown, Corey Dillon, Marquise Hill, Willie Andrews, Eugene Wilson, and Tabucky Jones.
And am I supposed to go one for one, or does it have to be a group thing?
I think the group thing.
Oh, then fiction.
You think one or more will be back?
Yes.
Wilson, probably.
Right.
But Marquise Hill, how long are you
going to... Gone.
Willie Andrews, probably
back.
Be back. Those two will be back. Corey Dillon could be.
Probably be back.
Yeah. Troy Brown might just quit. Dan Graham could be free
gone.
Agent, obviously. And Tabucky Jones
probably
could be
gone.
Yeah. So
I think there'll be a split there.
Fact or fiction, Asante Samuel will now be re-signed due to no Moss.
Fiction.
Fiction, okay.
I think they're going to have to give him some good coin if they're going to re-sign now. I think
the assumption here is the Patriots were waiting to see if they were going to need that space, but now that the trading deadline's over, okay, go ahead and re-sign Samuel.
I think he's looking to get paid.
Wow.
I think he's looking for some money.
I mean, I think he deserves
I think he's starting
some
to consider
money.
Himself... not an elite corner, but
yeah.
That next tier, like a number one.
Okay, so whatever that range of money is, should the Patriots pay it?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. It's another, you backed yourself into a corner because otherwise you got to find the solution.
I think that if he wants Champ Bailey money, you know, forget it.
No, not even close to that.
Yeah.
But I don't think
but
he
I
has
think
those
if he wants, if he's willing to go down to that next level...
But what's that next? That's like $12 million signing bonus.
Is it? Is it?
Yeah.
Well, but what does it average out to, you know, per year?
I don't know exactly, but it's significant. I mean,
I don't mind giving him a $12 million signing bonus as long as it's a manageable.
I wouldn't give it to him.
I don't. But
I'll start next year with Eugene Wilson.
You know,
and Ellis Hall,
Samuel. I just think having a guy in the system, you know, that knows the system, you can depend on him. I think there's some value there.
Oh, they do, too. I mean, that's the theory
yeah.
they use with a Green, a Copen, a Vrabel.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, they re-sign. But I think he might be looking for more money than they're willing to go for.
Okay.
And I don't think he's in the Graham camp. I don't think he's looking to leave, necessarily.
Right.
He's just looking, what's on the open market, and you need to be in that ballpark if I'm going to stay.
Okay. Fact or fiction, this is the final one. This is just for comments, he said. This last fact of fiction is just for comments. Tom Jackson will apologize to Bill Belichick before Bill calls it quits. What do you think?
On the air? I think he's tried to apologize, and Bill wants no part of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill, one thing I do love about Bill Belichick is he holds a grudge with the best of them.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Love that about him, because I do the same thing. Doug Gabriel stinks. So I have no problem with that.
Okay. Let's see. Russell, did you get an answer yet that you were looking up?
What was I looking up?
I don't know. Something about...
Oh, you said the Cowboys had tough games.
Tough games coming up after this one.
Okay, New England's at Buffalo. Dallas is...
I know they've got three fairly tough games.
Giants at Dallas.
Okay, so that's a
Monday
tough game.
Night.
That's a tough game.
Then next week they travel to Carolina for Sunday night.
Another tough game.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And then they go to Washington the week after.
That'll be easy.
But it's one of those NFC East battles. I think Washington stinks right now.
Yeah.
But that's one of those battles.
Yeah, if they end up losing to Washington, that could be the one that sets T.O. off.
Yeah, so they do have two road games plus a tough home game.
Yeah.
On Monday night.
They get a lot of primetime games.
They're America's team.
Yeah.
They're not China's team like the Patriots. They're America's team.
Let's see. Russell says, great show as always. I always read the Ask PFW, What Have You Done For Me Lately article. I'm glad to see I'm not the only one with Brady paranoia. Although I will say, being in California, I've only been able to watch the Denver game in the last minute 15 of the Jets game. But I will pose this to you. Having watched the Seattle and Rams Sunday, Branch made two very nice catches and passes that were not well thrown at all and seemed acclimated to Seattle's playbook. Would you say he is much better than he was given credit for when he was here? The announcers sure thought so, calling him special. I understand the contract situation and why they rightfully stuck to their guns, but I think Branch was underestimated and appreciated. Sure, he might not be as fast as Reggie Wayne, for whatever that is worth, but he's got the job done and seems to have caught on quick in Seattle, so why can't the current guys do that here? Also, what do you estimate will be the Pats cap room number come the free agency period next year?
What?
So, I'm not surprised that Deion Branch caught two touchdowns in Seattle.
He's a very good route runner. He is very knowledgeable in terms of offensive football. You know, we've heard it all along. He came out of Louisville, which was a pro-style system, as a more advanced receiver. That's why he was able to have some early success, not maybe go through some of that rookie slump kind of stuff that a lot of rookie receivers have, and I think that helps him. You know, and you give him a route, and he's going to run it. That's one of his strengths. He's going to be at the exact spot you ask him to be. And he has great hands. You know, he's a very good receiver. The only knock on him is he an elite receiver? And he's not facing this, I don't think, in Seattle. I know they've had some injuries. Engram was out with that thyroid thing, but I don't know what Burleson's status is. But they have a few guys there. He doesn't have to be the man. He didn't go to a place where there was nobody else. You know, they have a decent offense there, so I think that also helps him. The knock is, can he be double-teamed and beat a double-team like maybe a Steve Smith can, or
and
a
can
T.O.
he stay
or
healthy?
Moss? Right. We'll see how that goes. You know, there's obviously was concerns. He played all of last year, but part of that maybe was because they held him out of the preseason because they were worried he'd get hurt.
You know, it's funny. It's, you know, Branch has a little bit of success, and now we're starting to hear emails. Oh, should the Patriots have, you know, did they make a mistake? You know, what about David Givens? You know, did they not make a mistake because David Givens hurt his hand?
He's been hurt.
I know, but, you know, it's not, either way, it's not fair, is what I'm saying, you know?
But the thing that lends you to did they make a mistake is the struggles here. Not necessarily what the guy does when he leaves, but if you didn't have something ready to fill the void. That's where I think it plays in more.
Let's see. Alex has a quick one. He said, should the Raiders change their motto to one win maybe? I like it. I like it.
They could be a one win maybe kind of team. That's a bad team.
Oof.
Bad.
Hello.
That's another thing. Can
yeah.
I quick? I've heard Randy Moss get ripped recently. You know, there's been a lot of discussion, obviously, locally about Randy Moss with the trade deadline, and he has been ripped for saying "F Andrew," basically a swear after a throw in
right.
his direction from Andrew Walter.
Right.
Why are you ripping the guy for that? Isn't that automatic? I mean, I don't care. If I'm Chad Jackson and I get open and Brady misses me, I think that would be my response. Well, it's not saying you suck, Tom, or it's just, well, oh, we had it and you missed
it. But it also depends on, you have to hear it because it could be, ah, Andrew.
Be careful.
Or
I know how
be,
you are with these.
Or it could be, ah, Andrew. You know, one is a verb and the other is just
I just think that's people nitpicking on a guy who's a lightning rod for that kind
he
of
wants,
stuff.
You know, yeah.
I got no problem with that. I'm sure there are receivers in that locker room every week that say that either verbally or under their breath about Tom Brady after a throw.
Yeah.
Because you're a competitor, you get open, and you know what? We have a play here, and we didn't make it. It's frustrating.
Right.
All the other stuff you have to nitpick on Randy Moss, don't pick that.
Yeah. No, that's not right. Let's see. Louis says, hello, A-team. I'm assuming Fred's not there. Well, you're wrong.
And as such, the show started with his button being off, so we didn't start on time. Then he had the TV on loud in the background. So you're right. Fred is not part of the A-team.
How good were those Bills teams of the early 90s? I mean, Andy, you won't remember this. How did they play on offense and defense? Also, were they really that good to make four straight Super Bowls? Because I've heard that the AFC was very weak back then.
They were that good because they made four straight Super Bowls. I don't care what was going on elsewhere.
They had some amazing talent on that team, you know, with Jim Kelly and the whole K-Gun offense.
Right.
Bruce Smith,
you know, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas.
Yeah.
You're talking about very, very good players.
They had some excellent players, but it is true that the AFC was not as good as it is now back then.
The NFC was the far dominant conference for a long stretch of time there. But I don't care. I still think it's impressive to go to four straight Super Bowls, regardless of the outcome, regardless of whatever you say about the AFC. I mean, a lot of things have to go right for you to go to four straight Super Bowls.
Yep. Louis says, one more thing. Tom talked yesterday about how the 85 Bears were so dominant. My question is, why did they fail to reach another Super Bowl? Was the NFC that deep? That is a good question.
Well, they were getting old at that point,
I think
they
were getting old, and I think that was a team that they, you know, they kind of had a little full of themselves. You know, Mike Ditka isn't the steady kind of coach that Bill Belichick is. Mm-hmm. You know, they had all that success. And there was, you know, you had Jim McMahon, and you had a lot of personalities on that team that made it tough to repeat, made it tough to duplicate what they did. And then you have a guy like Ditka, who, you know, was a coach that I don't know if he was the right kind of coach to maintain that type of success. So it was interesting.
Plus, did Buddy Ryan leave? At what point did Buddy Ryan leave to go coach the Eagles?
I think he might have left the next year.
But my impression, and this is probably bad since I'm the one who doesn't remember anything that didn't happen, you know, within the last 4 years, my impression is they were getting old at that point. But let's take a quick look back.
Well, Dent might have been getting old. McMahon was...
Peyton was old.
Peyton Manning. Yeah.
So the 85 Bears, let's see, Duerson, Fintech, Marshall, Richardson, where's their sack guys? I'm trying to just look. Richard Dent had 17, McMichael 8, Hampton. And then you go to the next year, Dent 11, Hampton, McMichael. They were led by the same people. Peyton still had 1,300 yards the following year. And they did go 14-2 the following year, and they lost to Washington in the playoffs. So it's not like they fell off the face of the earth. 14-2, you know, 15-1, 14-2 is pretty impressive back-to-back years. I mean, it one-ups what the Patriots have done the last couple of years. They just didn't, obviously, win the Super Bowl. But 41-31, the defense gave up 10, 12, 7. The defense was still pretty good.
What was their record the year after they won?
14-2.
So they're pretty good still.
Pretty good. And I'm looking at the defense. They opened the year, they gave up 31 points, but then they gave up 10, 12, 7, 0, 7. They lost, giving up 23, 7. Lost, giving up 23, 10, 10, 10. They didn't give up a ton of points the next year. They were pretty good defense. Sure. So, you know, it's just one of those. Where did they rank? Team stats, total yards allowed.
And what about the year after that?
They had the top defense in the NFL. Then they had the second defense a year after that when they went 11-4, lost again to Washington in the playoffs. The year after that, they had the second-ranked defense in the NFL and went 12-4 and lost to San Francisco in the playoffs.
Mm.
So they were they didn't win Super Bowls,
right?
But the defense remained, and then the year after that, the defense fell off the map. the defense finished 25th in the NFL after being first or second for four or five straight years.
Interesting. It just shows you that even with it's hard to repeat.
It makes it hard.
That much more amazing what the Patriots did over this run.
But all right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, in 86, was that the year McMahon got hurt? Mike Tomczak played a lot that year. Basically, 50-50 split between Tomczak and McMahon. So I think that was the year McMahon got hurt.
Mm.
That could have played. Not that McMahon was a great quarterback by any means, but it got disrupted a little bit there.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal. Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the Cup against Chicago Fire Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the Cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it. Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution.
If you've got a Ryman-sized hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium in your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down frames, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down fries and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CMS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMuda's Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Rich Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch and Andy Hart taking your phone calls and emails. The phone number is 508-543-7482. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com.
Have you read the media page, I guess you'd call it, in the media guide? Patriots.com and the different... It's good stuff in here. You know, for a PR department that claims to hate us and...
Well, I think I wrote it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the popular Ask BFW postings Patriots.com. And then the online program, speaking of PFW in Progress, features candid commentary from the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
There you go.
With a small F in the middle. Shouldn't that be a big F?
I don't know.
Isn't the name of our Patriots Football Weekly Big F?
It would be, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There's a shock and mistake in the media guide.
Oh, here we go. Here
Although
we
you
go.
Just said you wrote it.
I didn't write the media guide. Let's see. Charles is near Baltimore, and he says, dudes, Deion has played one game for the Hawks. Let's not anoint him the league's best just yet. If Randy had ever been an option from Win One Baby, we wouldn't have signed Gabriel. Have fun. Well, it wasn't at the time.
I don't know that that's true. why wouldn't you take both? You didn't have any receivers. You still don't.
Right. Well, at the time, you know, Moss may not have. I always thought, you know, my conspiracy theory was that the Gabriel thing was just a precursor to a future deal that we were going to do. Because I remember when Gabriel was signed, Tom couldn't believe it. Why would they let this guy go?
Well, Tom was in love with him before. I think he might have pulled back on that since he's seen him a little more in person.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know that they're necessarily related in either direction, that it made it more likely you'd get Moss or less likely you'd get Moss because you traded for Gabriel. The only question I'd say is, why are the Raiders giving up on all their receivers? Gabriel, you know, Gabriel's the one who didn't really have any problems there. The only I don't know if they were thought he was a bad, you know, Moss was a bad influence on him and they were going to have a third guy who was a problem. I don't know. But it was weird. They got rid of the one guy who didn't have any problems.
Hmm. Bobby is in Nashville, Tennessee. Says, what is up with you guys making jabs at Brandon Gorin? The guy is no all-pro tackle, but filled in admirably here when he had to and was a contributor. It's not his fault he got traded to Arizona. If I was Arizona, I would start him compared to some of the other options they had on Monday night when the tackle let a blitzer go in on Leinart untouched for a sack and fumble. What did he do? Turn down an interview for one of you guys or something?
No, Brandon Gorin was a good guy. I had no problem with him. I just, you know, we look at it objectively, and I just didn't think he was that good.
He wasn't.
And I even questioned guys he was ahead of on the depth chart at times when he was playing. I never saw him do anything that led me to believe he was a starting caliber NFL lineman, definitely, and maybe how good he was as a backup.
The thing about Brandon is that he had so many opportunities to win that right tackle job, you know, where it was just him, and he never was able to, you know, just grab that job.
I think he's limited physically.
You know?
I just don't think he has the combination speed, athleticism to really succeed in pass blocking. I think he's a liability at times.
Yeah. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. We did our show yesterday on New England Cable News. I didn't like our show last night.
I didn't either.
I think we were a little off. I think the whole bye week kind of...
Bye week threw us off. I think we need a little more direction, a little less free-for-all in our discussions. I place that blame solely on the shoulders of New England Cable News, not us. We're the talent. We just show up. You need to guide us in the right direction. But if fans are watching, I'd urge them to keep watching. That was not our best effort. We are much better when we're reviewing the game, coming out of a normal weekend where there's a Sunday game, and we'll bring it next week. We're going to bring it.
What they didn't show, though, is maybe someday they'll do a blooper reel. We're sitting there before the show getting ready, and we're in our seats, and you know, the technical people are doing what they do. And at New England Cable News, the cameras are robotic.
Right.
There's no camera operators. The camera operators are behind a wall operating these cameras remotely. All of a sudden, this big, huge camera starts coming towards me. And it keeps coming. And it keeps coming. Next thing you know, I'm pinned up against the table.
It was very funny because I was watching it from the beginning. I saw the thing heading in your direction. And I was like, is it going to stop? Is it going to? Oh, it's not stopping. And then it turned around and looked, it was going to attack another camera.
I mean, I was literally pinned up against the table. And these things are huge. They're, you know, like a 500-600 pounds.
And I'm guessing
least.
Very expensive, relatively sensitive pieces of technology. And it's pinning you against the table.
It was pretty funny.
And then later it backed off a little.
Right.
And it bobbed its head up and down like it was kind of eyeing you up.
I think it was trying to mate with me. I really do. I was getting a little excited. All right. Anyway.
Easy.
So that was pretty funny. That was even before the show started. So it was probably a sign that this wasn't going to be a very good show.
But I think a sign that it wasn't going to be a very good show was when you and Paul started fighting off the air.
Well, I mean, I wasn't fighting, only he was.
That was funny.
Paul has been very, cranky. Very sensitive. So if any of our listeners, tomorrow, I guess, Paul, just lay low on Paul.
Yeah, no shots at Paul this week. He's a little sensitive, and he might not take it the right way in the good nature that it's sent. I do have a good Paul story, though.
Okay.
So I go to... to ESPN Radio yesterday, and they have an intern out front, and I was just talking to him as I was waiting to go in, and he goes, you know, where are you from? And I said, Patriots Football Week. Oh, doesn't Paul Perillo work there?
Oh!
And I go, why, do you know Paul? He goes, no, but I've seen him on TV and the radio a lot.
Wow.
So Paul's famous.
He is. You
know, I get there and people are asking about him. They want to know what he's like.
Yeah, no, Paul is the guy. He's
kind of a big deal.
He's the Ron Burgundy of our news team. Let's see. Ryan writes in, I'm listening to the 1017 show right now. in your discussion about teams getting hot late and power rankings, and I agree with your assessment that we have to wait and see. We definitely need to wait and see on the Patriots as to whether they'll get hot late as they did in 01 and 03. 04, they were more or less hot all year long. But I am disappointed by people who are too hard on them right now. You know these people, the ones who criticize the organization for letting Branch go, who say that the dynasty is over because of all the free agent losses. Even though this 2006 team has some problems, it is missing elements from years past, don't you feel like they are building towards something? Sure, the offense, Brady in particular, struggled against Miami, but doesn't that happen every year?
Yes. What else happens every year? This football team is far better in November and December than it is in September and October. And I think that's a great sign for this team.
Yep.
Maybe the best sign of all. This team, no matter how poorly you think they played against Denver or Miami or wherever you think their low was, never as low as it was last year when they stunk early in the season.
Yep.
They were a bad football team.
They couldn't play defense
early
in the
year.
And a lot of it was because Bruschi was out and Vrabel was still on the outside. You know, really, remember, it was after that Denver game that they finally brought Vrabel in to the inside.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, and they turned it around, and they were playing some pretty good football at the end of last year.
Team defense.
And that's what Belichick's teams do since he's been here, all the way back to 2000.
Yep.
He even started playing good football in 2000 when they were a 5-11 football team. So to be sitting atop the division right now playing pretty good football, I think that's a very, very positive sign towards building towards something.
Ryan, I'll skip over some of the stuff because he's kind of making the same some of the points we're making. He says, also, do you think Bill might continue to limit Chad Jackson's contributions until he can unveil him in some of our more high-profile games down the road, like the Colts and Bears,
So
those teams don't have much film on him? No, I agree. You got to get him the experience and the reps now.
I don't buy that whole limit thing.
Yeah, I know he's been limited because of injury, but do you ever wonder if there's ever more to it, that he'll be our secret weapon in big games, and it's all part of the master plan thought up by the evil genius?
I do wonder if there's more to it, but it's not about them holding him back or some master plan. I wonder if it goes beyond just the injury that's holding him back. So,
right.
I think any conspiracy theory is somewhat idiotic.
Let's see. Vince is from Pennsylvania. I'm not surprised about not getting Randy Moss, but I would have liked to see Jerry Porter traded to us for a third-round pick, and being suspended isn't a big deal since he can use that time to learn the playbook. Well, he's suspended by the Raiders, not by us, right? Or by the league.
I'm not sure how that works.
Really?
I believe once you file the suspension with the league...
Oh, that's it?
He's suspended.
Okay.
Because... Who was it a couple of years ago? Somebody was negotiating a contract. They had a squabble early in the year. The team put their foot down and suspended him, and then kind of they made up afterwards and they signed an extension or whatever, but he still had to serve the suspension because it was filed.
Oh.
Maybe our emailers will remember who I'm speaking of and how it unfolded, but I'm pretty sure once it's filed, you're suspended.
Okay. By the way, I agree with Fred about the NFL Network. All football fans should have it. My cable provider recently installed it, and it's great to watch the replays and keep up on recent news. I love it.
I heard an interesting thing about Boston last night, and I'm not sure if this is true. This was a caller to a talk radio program. That Boston is trying to pass a city ordinance that you're not allowed to have the dishes on the front of a building.
Right. Right, well, satellite TV.
But
right.
If the dish needs to face south, and you don't have a south back of your building, aren't you screwed?
That's why it's a stupid thing.
But is they going to... Because that could hurt football fans, direct TV
fans. Absolutely.
So they can't pass
it. Well, and I also think if they ever tried to do something like the cable company could say, you're hurting our business. You're impeding our business. You know, so...
And can't they just put them on the roof, though? That was the other thing. Can't you put them all on the roof facing south?
I guess you could, yeah. Instead of... coming out your window, but then...
How does that work if you don't own the top apartment? Do you own the roof?
I was just going to say that you'd have to have some thing where the owner of the building allows all these things to happen, and then, you know, how do you stop somebody from screwing around with your dish?
Right.
And, you know, that's why they hang them out their windows.
Are they really that ugly?
You see a lot of them. It's, even on houses.
Yeah.
You know, they look ridiculous. You go by this nice house, and because the front of the house is facing south or, you know, southwest,
that's
you see this dish.
Be, right.
It does not look good.
Eventually, will they have the technology where those will be smaller?
Well, I think they will. I mean, there was a time when those dishes were, you know, the size of a house.
Well, those were better dishes, though, too, right?
Yeah.
You could get, like, almost anything that was up there with those, right?
You could get, you know, Radio Baghdad.
But wouldn't you think eventually the dish will be, like, a shingle that's on your house and you won't even notice it, and
it
or
could
something,
be.
Some
it,
sort of electronic transmitter that picks things up?
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, a lot of it has to do as much with the actual satellite itself than the dish. You know, so the satellites will get better.
Right. Stronger, right.
Yeah, so.
I just thought that was interesting because that's who it would hurt. Football fans, DirecTV fans, and I think a large portion of DirecTV people are football fans because otherwise I don't know why you'd get it,
right.
Personally.
No, if I wasn't working on Sundays, I would definitely have it.
Oh, you have
I would
to.
Have
I
mean, to have a dish.
Unbelievable.
So that I could get every game.
Watch everything, that whole Red Zone channel they have, all the different, I mean, that's tremendous.
Yeah, I would.
But to me, that's the only draw to DirecTV.
Well, eventually, you know, DirecTV pays a lot of money. When I say a lot of money, I'm talking like $300-400 million to the NFL for the ability to show all those games. But I think eventually you'll see that on cable as well. It might be a paid service, though.
Well, yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
It should be a paid
I mean,
service.
On top of what you've got. Yeah,
right, it should
yeah.
be. Yeah. I have no problem with that. Yeah. I mean, that's how it is with the other sports.
Yep.
They
yep.
have the,
I don't
know,
baseball
center ice.
The NBA.
And the,
yeah.
yeah. And you pay... It's usually like $150 or something.
Yeah.
But it should definitely be on cable. I think cable's better. I've never understood the fascination with DirecTV beyond that package for football. I've never under...
It's pretty good. I mean, you know, you can get different feeds from different parts of the country.
But none of that, you know...
You know, for example, you can get, you know, the NBC from Houston. You know, and you know, if you want to see what's going on in Houston, you can watch their news and...
But... Why can't cable do that?
I don't think they have enough, you know, channels in order to do that. You know?
Okay.
They only have a set amount of channels that they can handle.
And 999.
Yeah, well.
Although I have heard that the bandwidth is an issue and that people are going to get closed out of being HD because there's not enough bandwidth on cable for all channels to go to HD.
Could be.
Which is an issue.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
It's an issue.
I don't like all these problems. They need to start thinking about these things in advance so they don't screw me, the consumer.
Let's see. Dan Heffron writes in. He says, the guy who was suspended then made up with his team was Antonio Gates.
Yes.
From the Chargers last season. He wound up missing the first game of the season.
Yes. Thank you, Dan. That's why you're in the Hall of Fame. You're the best. So I do believe that I'm 2 for 2 left-handed with soda bottles into the garbage, just so you know.
That's great. It's good that we all know that.
Right-handed. I'm 0 for the season.
Yep. Yep. Well, thank you, Dan, for that information.
So, yeah, I do believe that he would have to serve that suspension no matter what, because as long as it's been officially filed with the NFL.
All right. Ben from Boxborough. Do you think Richard Seymour may be hurt?
No.
According to NFL.com, in the last two games, Cincinnati and Miami, he has a grand total of 1 assisted tackle and 1 pass deflected. He hasn't been making big plays this year, and it seems as if he tends to disappear from games. And he does have a history of nagging injuries that keep him out of a couple games the past couple of years. Also, do you think the trade of Anthony McFarland to the Colts will make big enough difference to make their run defense a problem? And I'm glad the Patriots did not acquire Moss. Tom and the receivers do not need that distraction, and this will help Tom focus more time with receivers like Gabriel, Jackson, and Caldwell, who he's obviously still trying to develop some chemistry with. So,
I do not believe Seymour's hurt. I don't know for sure. I mean, all guys deal with little nagging injuries throughout the year. I think people are starting to look at him differently. I don't know why. I think he's having a pretty good year. As I've said on this show before, I've seen 3 guys blocking him at times. And I still think he is the elite defensive lineman on that front. You know, his game's not always about numbers. It's not always about tackles and any of those sorts of things. That said, I guess if enough people are questioning it, maybe he does need to start making some plays to warrant his $30 million deal.
Well, that's
the
whole thing. It's a new type of attention that he's getting now because of that new contract. The McFarland thing, I don't think he's going to significantly help, noticeably help the Colts. I think he's just,
I don't think so. I don't think he's been as good. He'll be better. I mean, he'll help them some, but does he make them go from not being able to stop the run to being run-stop dominant team? I don't think so.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, though, that they have the money to take on that contract, though. As poorly as everybody says they mismanaged the cap, they're able to take on a $5 million a year player in the middle of the season. Interesting.
Owen in Belfast, Ireland. I know that I shouldn't really be thinking of the draft, but I was just wondering, if the Patriots wanted to trade up in the draft into the top five picks of the first round, what would they need to trade? Would they need to trade their first round and second round picks to move that high up, or would it be more? And P.S., Fred is definitely in the A-team. He is a true legend of Patriots Nation.
Come on.
Thank you, Owen.
Not surprisingly, that came from the drinking capital of the world, Ireland.
You know what?
Some guy's drunk.
That's just offensive. That is offensive. That is just not right.
Only the drunks like Kirsch.
And on behalf of the whole Patriots organization, I apologize for Andy Hart. So,
as far as the trade goes, I don't have the little Jimmy Johnson draft trade value chart in front of me.
Right.
I know the value of the picks significantly drops as you move out of the top of the first round.
That's right.
So it would be a large, large package. Well, even with two picks in the first 28, let's say, you'd be giving up more than that to get up very high.
Also, it significantly drops after the top six, I think. So,
oh, yeah. It's,
yeah, the Patriots have their two first-round picks are probably going to be low because it's Seattle and theirs, and they're probably both going to make the playoffs. So you're talking about the bottom 20, you know, 20 to 32 for
right.
those
picks. Oh, yeah, the bottom third of the first round, definitely.
So, you know, even giving up both first-round picks may not get you into the top five.
Oh, I don't think it would.
Yeah.
I don't think it would even close. It's going to be a package of picks beyond that. Paul Perillo or Tom Casale, if you're listening, could you send us the exact numbers from the trade chart?
And I don't think that Belichick and Pioli are the type that would risk it all on one guy.
I don't think they would. Maybe if they thought there was a can't-miss, surefire.
Yeah. But according to Tom, I don't know who that would be right yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure now.
There's one wide receiver that he's very high on.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I think he really likes him. You know, obviously they're not in the market for quarterback. There's no elite running back yet.
Well, Adrian Peterson, now he's going to have the question of the broken collarbone. His season's
done. That's right.
Although I don't think that'll affect him as much as, like, a knee injury would or any of that. I think he's still a top-end first-round pick.
What's his name? The kid from the Polish kid from Notre Dame.
Jamarja.
I don't think...
You love him.
I like him, but I think he's going to go in the top 10, but I don't think the Patriots would give up two first-rounders for him.
I don't like him. I don't think he's that good.
You don't think he's that good?
I don't think he's a top 10. I don't think he's top 15. I'm not even sure he's a first-round pick.
I think you're a little biased there.
Why?
You just don't like, you've never liked the guy. The guy has...
How can you say that? You have no idea.
I've always said you don't like him, you and Tom.
I don't think he's that good.
I think the guy gets open, and he's got great hands.
I think he and his quarterback are overrated, highly overrated.
Well, I think Brady Quinn might be, but I think Samardzija is the real deal. I mean, he's not Randy Moss or Terrell Owens, but...
Well, if I'm drafting him in the top 15,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's top 10 worthy. Maybe top 15, depending on who else is out there, and I don't know other wide receivers. But
I don't like him. Calvin Johnson. The guy you're talking about.
Right. I think he's going to be do you think that he's going to be a very productive NFL player if he plays football? He could play baseball.
Very productive? What's very productive?
Deion Branch type.
No.
No?
I don't think he's as good as Deion Branch.
Really?
Nope.
Okay.
I think he will top out as a...
Keyshawn Johnson.
No.
I mean, Keyshawn Johnson, you could argue, was drafted higher than he should have.
Right. But Keyshawn Johnson caught, 76 balls last year?
You don't think he could
do that? I don't think Samardzija will get in that. I think he's going to top out as like a 50-catch guy.
Well, okay.
I think he's a Jabbar Gaffney.
I think he's pretty good, but...
You love him.
He throws 100-mile-an-hour fastball, so he might play baseball. You got a longer shelf life there.
I'd play baseball. I'd play baseball and get me that guaranteed contract. That's what I'd get.
Let's see. Dave writes in, I feel... Even given the obvious issues, I feel the team is on a pretty good trajectory, given the pattern is continual improvement throughout the season. Well, I think
true.
That's pretty. Two, Brady looked phenomenal in preseason, and I expected him to blow things away, but he has been below his normal standard in the regular season. Do you notice that, and what would you make of it?
Same old thing. I'm just going to beat a dead horse and say the timing of the passing game, they're just not in sync right now. I'm not, you know, I know the numbers say Brady, and people see him throwing the ball, and it's missing. He's 54%, I think, he's completing of his passes. This is a guy who's a career 60-something percent guy, never below 60, you know, been 62 at times. I find it hard to believe that he just all of a sudden can't throw the football.
I don't know the exact numbers, but I would venture to say that through five games, he's thrown the ball away more than he has in the past.
Could be.
And, you know, obviously that decreases...
Does Patriots Football Weekly back that up? We keep track of those stats.
That obviously decreases his percentage, but I see him throwing the ball away a lot more, and that just shows me that there's just nothing there.
Right. He's, and I think overthrows and underthrows at times... Now, I think he's had some bad throws.
Yes, he has, but he's always had that.
He's always... I think he's, at times in his career, had really bad throws.
Yeah, I mean...
Times where you don't think he looks like the best quarterback in the league.
I can remember many times sitting there... in the press box, looking over to Paul and goes, look, he's a little jacked up. He's overthrowing people early in the game. He's always had that problem. You know, he's not always dead on accurate.
Right. But in general, he's a very accurate quarterback, and the numbers don't show that this year. He's on pace for one of his, probably his worst season ever, I think, as a full-time starter.
Yep.
You know, on pace for something like 3,300 yards, less than that, after leading the league with 41-10 a year ago. So I place the blame squarely on the shoulders of the wide receivers and the overall timing of the passing game.
Dave finally says, Belichick seems to be much more relaxed and comfortable and even forthcoming in his press conferences and media sessions this season.
Huh?
Do you think this reflects a more satisfied attitude toward where the team is at?
I'm not sure what press conferences he's watching.
Would you say, though, he's a little bit more relaxed this year? I would.
No, I think he's the same as he's always been.
What about his pregame ritual? He seems to be out there with the kids a little bit more.
I think he's always done things that you could view as relaxed and confident or whatever. Yeah. I think he goes in waves.
Yeah.
But I think he's the same as he's always been. I think Bill Belichick at this point in his life is what he is, as he'd like to say.
Okay. Amir from Boxborough says, dudes.
We're big in Boxborough today. There was Ben in Boxborough, Amir in Boxborough.
Yep. But I noticed, like people in Foxborough, Amir types Foxborough O-R-O, while our previous one was O-U-G-H. So they even have that problem in Foxborough.
So Amir is the down-to-earth guy,
right.
And Ben is the snooty old guy. Scary.
Amir says, dudes, I did catch the last night's show, and it was not too terrible.
Thanks.
Yeah, I did enjoy Tom's tirade that it does not matter what the weather was, Buffalo cannot stop the run. That's good
true.
That... You know, Tom's good for one of those a show. Last week it was print the playoff tickets now.
He's a little volatile.
He gets going.
He can go off on you. You missed Paul going off. That was before the cameras were on. It was on Fred.
I just felt more bad for him than anything else. I mean, he wasn't really yelling. I thought he was going to cry.
And we're getting in trouble as we speak.
Tom really adds the most entertainment value to the show. Maybe we could build up his gambling addiction as a sideline.
No, I don't think we want to go down that.
You could get some tabloid material to give the show free publicity. Maybe Andy could come up with a sordid past as well. Once the chicks start watching, the show will go big time. Maybe we could do something like that. You know, maybe we could catch you, like, down some alley with, you know, a woman of the night.
A woman? Is she hot?
I don't know.
Make her hot, I might be on board with that.
Yeah, you know, maybe we could find something like that, and then you have to come on and publicly apologize on our show. And
I got no problem with that.
Maybe we could bring in Rush Limbaugh.
Not sure how my wife would feel about this storyline.
I have to do something. Some suggestions for the show. Don't use a round table. Sit straight across like a panel, or have a curved table like ESPN. That way you can all have frontal view rather than profiles. The only... You know, I guess they thought about that. Well, maybe we did. But when you have a frontal view like that, you're going to be doing a lot of talking to the camera. I think our show, we want more of a discussion among us, right?
Yeah, but I don't like the setup necessarily right now, especially with the camera angle.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
I think we might be better at a news desk style. Just not my complaint. I know NBC's is very spread out. They're like 4 feet in between each guy.
Yeah.
If we could do something like that, but squeeze us in a little bit more so we're a little more of a natural 2 feet apart from each other.
They've got that other desk on the other
side
of the studio.
Why don't we do that?
Maybe we could sit over there.
Why don't you look into it?
You
pull a lot of weight.
Lose the host. He doesn't add anything, and you guys know how to carry a conversation. There are too many people around the table with him there. Okay, well, that's a neck and... question. I think they want to have their guy there, you know, to kind of give
I'm them. Sure they do.
Yeah. Three, more show more clips. Use more statistics. It works for Neumeier. Well, that would take pre-production. I don't know if that's in the cards.
You know, but we have about 30 jobs here at PFW.
After the Tippett discussion, it seemed like Fred implied that the fans could do something to help his selection, but it was dropped. Is there some way that fans can do to help him, or so it should be made more clear? No, there isn't anything.
Email Peter King.
I mean, you can. I mean, there can be a letter-writing campaign to the Hall of Fame and to writers, but it's not going to. I mean, if anything, it could have a negative effect.
I don't think it would have a negative.
Well, some of these writers are like, those fans from New England, they think they blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
you know?
But I don't. Email Peter King. I'd write Peter King a letter. He seems like he's a guy that could swing it, who's changed his opinion recently. Send him some if you really feel strongly about it.
It's Peter King.
Yes.
And he has a mailbag, right? You can find that on SI.com.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
So bombard him with emails from Patriots Nation saying, Peter, get Tip in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think if he gets in that room, if he gets to the point where they're
debating
him.
Explain that, because some of our listeners may not know what you're talking about.
Well, basically, each year, the players that are eligible, there's a written vote of all the voters. There's 39 voters. There's a written vote.
And the voters are made up of writers.
Writers from all the different cities, and then there's two from each city, and Peter King's on it. So it's 39 total. They vote. They get it down to, I believe, 25. Then there's a second written voter just amongst those 25 that gets it down to 15 semifinalists or finalists, whatever they call them. Those writers then, while at the Super Bowl, covering the Super Bowl, the week of the Super Bowl, basically go in a room, all 39 of them, with the list of 15 guys. A writer from the city where the guy played or what have you puts together a presentation, argues for, say, Andre Tippett. Ron Borges will be in front of the group talking about Andre Tippett, his accomplishments and different things. And then basically they vote on it. And you need to get 80% of the vote in order to be elected in that room. And Tippett hasn't gotten into the room yet. And I think that's a huge step for him, because I think when people...
And he can make your case.
First-person accounts of how dominant he was, Ron Borges talking about him, all the different things, I think he'd get in, because I think he's a Hall of Famer at heart. He was so dominant in the middle of the 80s, but I guess people have forgotten, or maybe his numbers on paper don't mean as much as they once did. A lot of guys have kind of passed him up in the 90s on the sack lists and things of that nature. But he was just a dominant all-around football player who deserves to be in Canton.
Amir says, Vince Wilfork was being interviewed on FSN at the same time as one of your slots, so no one was watching except me.
Hey.
I thought FSN was 10:30.
They got bumped because of the Celtics last night, which had Paul bragging that he was on both channels at the same time. He was clicking back and forth.
Yeah,
or something. His head couldn't get any bigger.
We've created a monster.
His head is just growing week by week. God.
By the way, I'm worried that you guys all picked the Pats over Buffalo. I recall most people picked the Bengals over the Pats. All of us did. Oh, no. Yeah. We did.
We all picked the Bengals.
Yeah.
We were wrong.
Yeah, we were wrong. But we were right. We all picked the Miami. I mean, we all picked the Patriots over Miami.
Right.
So we were right there.
And we'll be right this week. They're going to kill the Bills.
I think there is some danger this week, though. I believe that Belichick and Brady will probably have their number this time. The D is playing much better as well. The only fear is that they have a big bounce-back game after losing to the Motown Kittens.
No chance.
If there was one thing the Bills could do to beat the Pats this week, what would it be?
If there's one... Run the ball, control the clock.
Take Brady hostage?
Well, obviously the big play type thing when you talk about turnovers and things of that nature. But, they've been up and down. At times they've been able to run the ball against Patriots. At other times they haven't been able to run it at all. The key for them offensively is to get Willis McGahee going. I think he has like 500 and something yards already. One of the better numbers in the league, top five, I think.
I'm not worried about the Patriots' run defense, though.
Asking me what the Bills can do. You've got to run the ball.
Yeah.
If you want to win this game. No, I agree. I think that might be the one thing on this team that I'm feeling pretty good about saying consistently they're going to stop the run. The running game has been inconsistent. Obviously, we know the passing game's been inconsistent, and the pass defense has given up plays and been a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah.
So I would say defensively stopping the run is maybe the most consistent aspect of this team so far.
Ben is in Salem, Mass, getting ready for Halloween up there. One of our workers, Jana, she lives in Salem. She said they basically close the town on Halloween night, and it becomes, Halloween Central.
Halloween. Overrated.
You don't like it?
No.
Why not?
Overrated. Stupid.
Something happened to you when you were a kid?
I just never liked it.
Your mother made you dress up like a kitty or something like that. Now you
kids
don't like
called
them.
Me.
Huh?
No. I never got it, and it's a lot of work for a little bit of candy, and as you get older, I never understood the adult kind of thing with it, and I don't know. I just never got it. It's just one of those overblown, wasted holidays.
One night you went out as a beating heart and the kids instead beat you up? Nothing like that, no?
I don't have too many of those stories from my childhood, just so you know.
Do you not remember them, or did you just have a boring childhood?
No, I wouldn't say it was boring, but I never had any of those, like, cliche, oh, I was beat up and pushed in a locker. First of all, I was kind of the bully in elementary school.
I can see that.
But beyond that, I never...
kids' lunch money?
No, not that bad. But at recess, you know, you throw your weight around, and at that point, I had a significant weight to throw around.
Ben is from Salem. We said that already. All right,
we did.
He said a question pertaining to your TV show.
Why is it not good? I don't know.
As you know, each week there is a ticket giveaway contest where people email in the phrase of the week from the current issue of PFW. The thing is, now the show has been moved back to Tuesday. While I don't receive the latest issue until Tuesday in the earliest, often not until Wednesday, and I live in the Boston area, so I assume I get it as anyone. Well, no. You get your issue. We announce that get your issue and email. You have until the next show to
right,
email.
Right, it's all week.
Right.
And they take, randomly, they pick from all those people
right.
that emailed
in. So what happens? Let's say, okay, for example, last week's phrase was jamming receivers in the paper. And the paper came out Tuesday. Our show was Tuesday. So we say on the show, get this week's issue of PFW, find the phrase, email it in. So you have from the time that show came up until the next Tuesday to get the issue and mail in the phrase. They don't pick the winner until the next show.
And you just defeated the purpose of us putting it in the paper by giving away the phrase that pays.
No, jamming receiver was last week.
Yeah, and they can email that from now through next week.
No. There's a new one that is in effect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The winner of the one that they announced last week was Jammin' Receiver. So
it's a new one.
I don't want to say it. So for a particular show, which issue's phrase is supposed to... All right. So I think I explained that.
So no matter when you get your paper, today, tomorrow, once you have the phrase, email PFW at NECN,
yep,
and you can win tickets.
That's right.
To an upcoming Patriots game.
That's right. Let's see. Brian is in Watertown. He says, I seem to recall some sort of situation with a Pat situation in the past, but don't recall the details. Didn't Parcells lay either a suspension and or fine on a player, maybe Terry Glenn, before he left the Patriots organization? Then, when Pete Carroll took over the next season, he released the player of that punishment to have a fresh start with the guy. I think it was Belichick. Might have released. It was actually Carroll was the one that put the fine on Glenn.
Right.
And Bill Belichick was the one that forgave him of that.
I do kind of remember that. He tried to start fresh with him and whatever, build a relationship with Glenn, and, you know, that blew up in his face about a year later.
Yeah, so Paul would know that. Paul would know the answer to that.
But he's not speaking with you, so.
Is he not speaking with me?
I don't know.
Is he that upset?
No,
really?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, you know.
You two have grown apart.
Yeah. Steve in Fuqua, North Carolina.
Fuqua?
Fuqua.
You sure it's that way?
Fuquay. Fuqua?
I don't know. Have him send in a pronunciation.
Anyway, Steve says, as for receivers, do you like Ted Ginn at Ohio State University?
Yeah, I like him. I don't think he's as good as...
Skinny legs, kind of tall.
Ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
Ridiculously fast.
I think we need another great route runner. What do you think of David Ball at UNH?
Apparently, our expert in that area, Paul Perillo, says never play in the league.
One double A guy, won't play.
So, apparently he won't play. Paul is the inventor of the game of football.
I personally am interested in the crop of defensive line / outside linebacker tweeners. Tom, have you seen Gaines Adams at Clemson or Quentin Moses at Georgia? These two seem to fit Bill's profile for hybrid defensive end outside linebackers.
That's a Tom question. I haven't seen either of those guys. That is an interesting area to keep an eye on again, because it seems like they're not going to draft a prototypical linebacker. Maybe they will go that outside conversion route kind of guy. A lot of teams have had success with it lately, so it'd be interesting to keep an eye on that type of player this year. They are obviously getting older. Some of the guys that are here, Tully Bantakane has had his opportunity, hasn't necessarily taken advantage of it, so that could be an area they target with one of those early picks.
Ben writes in from Boxburg again. He's got the draft trade value chart.
Nice.
And it starts at number one with 3,000. And
so what's five?
Number five is worth 1,700 points.
Five is 1,700, okay. What is, let's say, 23 and 27?
23 is 760, and 27 is 680.
680. Add those up, you got 1,440?
Right, so
you're still 300 shy.
Right, so you're 1,440 gets you anywhere between 8 and 7.
Right, so you, if you want to get up into, and we just did 5, if you wanted to go higher than 5, you'd...
Yeah,
you're adding.
It goes 5, 4 is 1,800, then it really starts to jump up. 3 is 2,200, 2 is 2,600.
So where is 260? What has a value for 260? What
260 points?
Yeah.
Nothing in the first round.
No, I know. What pick is that?
Oh, I don't know. He only gave us the first 32.
But you definitely are adding something to get up there.
Yeah, 32 is 590.
32 is 590. So late second round pick might get you up there.
Obviously, he says there's a significant difference between the top five and the late rounders, which the Pats probably will have both of because High, Seattle, and the Pats are playoff teams. It would take at least three very high picks to acquire a top five or ten pick. So in my opinion, it almost doesn't seem worth it. But I have watched Calvin Johnson a lot, and I would say I'm almost as high on him as Tom is. So I would love to see the Pats trade up to get that high to get Johnson.
I just don't see them doing that. Trading all that to get him a year after you invested to get Chad Jackson. You know, unless, I mean, I guess in theory you'd have two great young receivers, but that's in theory, and that hasn't exactly worked out for teams like the Lions. I don't think they'd go down that route. I think the better scenario was the previous emailers, the defensive end, outside linebacker, hybrid.
Right.
The best one of those every year is always a, you know, late, top 10, you know, early to mid-teens.
Yep.
I think there's a better chance maybe you're trading up to get the best one of those guys and put a young playmaker on this defense.
All right, we got another half hour to go on the show. We'll be right back after these messages.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese cheese brats and beer brats, first down frolics, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Rich Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, where you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal. Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it. Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution.
Okay, we're back here at PFW in Progress. Brett Kirsch and Andy Hart until 2 o'clock. And then at that time, John Rook takes over with Patriots Playbook. And I don't know if John told you, I talked to his class at Emerson College.
Class talk, did you?
Monday. at Reporting Sports.
How was it?
It was good. I was telling John, when I went to Emerson, you know, they bought all these new buildings down by the theater district. It's all new. You know, back when I went, it was all on Beacon Street. And the only reason I would go down to where they are now is because I was on the wrestling team and we wrestled at the Young Men's Christian Union, which is right at the edge of the old combat zone. And I swear to God, if you were there at dark walking out of there, you'd have a tail on you the minute you walked out into the street. There were more muggings on that street. But now it's all different. They bought all the buildings and there's students everywhere. And I went into, you know, where the classrooms are all like labs where every seat has its own computer and there's projectors and it's really cool.
Where's Emerson Theater District?
It's, you know, a lot of it is, you know, right by the commons there,
yeah,
on Boylston and Tremont,
yeah, okay,
where they crisscross, and they still have a lot of buildings in the Back Bay and all that area. So
what was your presentation on?
I talked about, you know, this is sports reporting.
Did
class.
You prepare?
Yeah, well, I had sort of a thought process that I went through.
Okay.
Basically telling them that just like content has to be diverse these days, that, you know, it's not just print, it's not just radio, you know, whatever it is, if you're a producer, you have to think of all the different mediums. If you're an individual, you have to get to know all those things. You have to diversify. You can't just write. Although having that as a base is something that I would suggest. But once you have that base, know what a podcast is. Know, you know, get some experience in front of a camera. Understand, you know, how to use the internet and the difference between streaming and download. You know, because you're going to probably have to get involved in all that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in the future, consumers are not going to be satisfied getting their content one way. They're going to want to choose how they get their content, so producers have to make it available to them any way they want it. So we kind of talked about all of that.
Did you take questions, have a little Q&A?
Oh, yeah. I brought the ring, passed the ring around, you know, let them see that.
Did you bring papers?
Oh, yeah. Brought papers, you know. It was good.
What was the best question?
Best question, well, we talked a little bit about remaining objective, you know, running the paper and all that. And basically, I said there's no such thing as objectivity anymore.
There isn't.
You know.
And not just us.
Not just us.
New York Times, whatever. They all lack objectivity.
Right.
So are there any hot younger co-eds?
No. But we already had two emails of people who want to intern. So it's like, I felt like, you know, the Army, how they go to the campuses and recruit, you know?
Good. We could use those.
Oh.
No offense, Kyle.
Tom Casale of Patriots Football Weekly writes it.
Nice.
He couldn't avoid the draft talk. He says, Adams from Clemson is a machine. But the best, end in this year's draft will be Lamar Woodley out of Michigan. He's dominated in all four of the Michigan games I've seen this year, and that doesn't take into account the Notre Dame game I didn't see while we were traveling, which might have been his best performance of the season. Both Adams and Woodley will be top 10 picks, most likely.
But are these ends or tweeners? Because that's what you're going to be looking for, is a tweener, a guy who can, you know, play on 2 feet, play linebacker essentially in the 3-4, be a pass rusher, do everything you need to get done to be a playmaker in this defense. So that'll be the question.
Well, toward the end of the season, we'll start getting our tapes in of all the players, and you guys will have your film sessions.
Trip to the combine.
You break it down by position. Is that how you do it? You view like running backs on one day?
Right, and it's usually broken down for us, the company that provides us the video. It's usually broken down to some degree by, the top prospects are first, and they're kind of grouped together, which is nice because a lot of times it's not fair to compare Reggie Bush with the 25th ranked running back. So it's good to kind of see them in order where you're comparing the top five to each other, then you're comparing maybe those third round picks to each other, and so you can kind of, rate them fairly, I'd say.
Who was the guy that you guys were most right about last year and least right about?
Most right about?
Besides Reggie Bush.
Least
right
about. Well, Reggie Bush hasn't been what he is still
supposed
to be.
But he's going to be.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm not sold on his. I don't love. I think he's on, is it ESPN? He has a bye week, I'm assuming, this week. I saw somebody advertising live in studio Reggie Bush. And I think he's a guy that needs to be careful about being overexposed, taking on too much, and not worrying enough about just being a great running back and playing football first and letting the other stuff come to him. And I know the whole thing with him, the marketing companies, and they were vying for his services, and I'm sure it's all tied into that.
He's got to make the money to pay back whatever he's going to end up having to pay back.
That may be accurate, but I think he needs to be careful, remembering that his production on the field has to come first, and everything else is subsidiary to that.
I don't know if the Patriots could stop him, but do you think he'd be able to do that if he was a Patriot?
Yeah, I think he would still do most of it. I think they would, try to rein it in and pull back on it and not allow it to, hinder his development as a football player. But I think he just needs to be careful about overexposure and taking on too much in that area. But most right on, I got to tell you, I think we had a great year. I think we were right on a lot of guys that we liked. We talked about Gradkowski. And I think that was pretty good for us to talk about him, kind of compare him a little bit to Brady in that, he had some of those intangibles and different things. And now you see him playing okay for the Bucs, winning some games, doing some things for them. I think that was good for us. Obviously, Oliver Hoyt, who we took a lot of flack from as a sleeper guy that we really liked, made the Dallas Cowboys, which I think is relatively impressive. Tom loved Jarius Norwood, and Jarius Norwood has had a lot of big plays for the Falcons, averaging somewhere north of 7 yards a carry. I don't know who we were wrong on. I know who I was wrong on. I was a little down on Matt Leinart. I had questions about the arm strength, and I'm wrong. Matt Leinart's going to be a very good quarterback in this league. He's unflappable. One play I really liked from him, and I guess this comes with playing at USC, being a superstar for years, even though he wasn't in the NFL. There was a play where he threw it away, and it looked like it might have been picked, and then they reviewed it, and they said it bounced, and it didn't.
Right.
And he just smiled on the sideline like it was nothing. I knew that, or
yeah.
Some guys, I think, would have been like, whew, got away with one there, and he just smiles and kind
of
moves on.
Yeah, he does have a good demeanor. A lot of people thought that maybe he didn't love football enough.
I think those were all wrong. Yeah. I think he's going to be a tremendous player, and I'm sold on him. Lendale White, we said, was overvalued and was kind of a turdish, and
that's
kind of come to fruition. So, I think we were far more right than wrong on a lot of things we talked about.
Let's see. Tom writes in again,
Tom,
about the last two players he mentioned. They're both pure ends, not tweeners. Woodley is 260 pounds, but thick. I was most right about Jarius Norwood. He might be the best back to come out this draft there. I said it. Shut up, Andy.
Wait a minute. You just called. I had an argument with you a week ago that Lawrence Maroney's already a superstar. How many superstars are we going to have here?
P.S. Speaking of right, how is Darnell Bing doing?
Yeah, he was right on Darnell Bing.
He hasn't done much, has he?
No.
Okay.
But I would say in general we had a strong combine. We set the bar pretty high for ourselves heading into next year's combine. We did a lot of Patriot-specific stuff.
And now you guys don't
want
to go.
Who said we don't want
to
go?
I said
as long as the
prop,
plane has a jet, I'm on it. If it has a prop, I'm not.
We're talking about Indianapolis. It's hard to get big jets going into Indianapolis.
Well, I didn't say a big jet.
Yeah.
A small commuter jet is fine with me. Just a jet. It has to have a jet engine and not a stupid propeller that shakes the whole plane and you feel like you're going to crash every time you hit a little bit of turbulence.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you, we had three flights on jets, one on a plane. So there's planes that are jets that go in and out of Indy.
How many of our listeners, just to go to the combine, would go any damn way they could?
Well, then, if it's a prop plane, I'll give them my confirmation number and my little credit card and they can sign in at the airport.
What if that's all that's available?
Then get us a bus or a train.
All right. Fine. I'll give you a train.
Because I'm not taking a prop plane. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, my goodness. It can't be any worse than that flight that we had this year going to Tennessee. I mean, not Tennessee, but...
You're not even close. Not even in the same ballpark. 10 times as bad.
Oh, come on.
10 times.
I've been on prop planes.
Tom Casale, email in, because that flight was nothing, and both he and I talked about it later. We looked at other people who were overreacting on that flight and said, you know what? I guess once we've been through that flight from the combine, nothing can ever compare, because it was awful.
Yeah, but Tom gets scared when he sees trailers for the movie Saw.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. Tom, email in and tell Fred how bad that flight... There's no way we're taking that pro. All you have to do is tell your little travel agent, make sure they're jets.
Oh, yeah, okay. $2,000.
No, it's we three of four legs on the way were on jets, so it's possible.
Okay.
They're little jets, little Continentals or whatever. They only seat 40 people or something, but they're jets and they have nice smooth flights.
I'll tell you what, I'll have John Madden come pick you up in the Outback Steakhouse bus. Matt from Quincy, he says he listens all the time. We are all aware that Belichick has certain coaches in both the pro and college ranks that he favors. Pat Hill, Kurt Ferentz, Nick Saban come to mind. He tends to favor drafting players from those programs. I also believe there are coaches and programs that he avoids at all costs. At the top of the list, in my opinion, is Pete Carroll. Well, they took, what's his name, Matt Castle.
Castle.
I honestly,
maybe they figure he hadn't played, so he wasn't ruined by Carroll.
I honestly think he views Pete as a clown. And doesn't respect, and therefore usually doesn't draft when he has a chance, players that come out of his program. I know he drafted Castle, but if you think about it, he was a guy that didn't even play at USC, and maybe he thinks that Pete didn't get a chance to taint him too much. Well, good, that's what Andy just said. I have had this opinion since Pete was here, and Belichick and Pioli were with the Jets. What do you guys think?
Well, I think, first of all, if there was a player that had all the skills and was in their range where they're drafting, I think they'd take him. I don't think they hold Pete to that low standard that he ruined a guy and he's, you know, never going to be anything because he played for Pete Carroll. But that said, I think Bill Belichick thinks very highly of himself, and I think he thinks he's the best coach for a player. And I think most coaches probably believe that. So, you know, looking at Pete Carroll from afar, I'm sure they thought they were better than Pete Carroll. They should. That's confidence. That's, you know, being a competitor and... But I don't think they would not draft a USC guy if he was what they wanted, what they were looking for, simply because he went to USC.
Harry is in Bagram, Afghanistan.
Nice.
He says,
well, not nice for him, but
yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
He says, Sunday games start here at around 10 p.m., and I sit along with a couple of friends and drink coffee watching the games until around 4 or 5 in the morning. One guy is a diehard Redskins fan, and the other is a moderate Dolphins fan. We all expected our teams to be in the playoffs this year, and I'm having difficulty coming up with lies to make my friends think their teams are still bound for the postseason. My other NFL question would be about Mark Brunell. I know quarterbacks often get too much credit or too much blame, but in this case, he stinks. His only good plays are from Santana Moss turning quick hits into long runs. I know that the Skins are the least exciting sports story in the NFC East, but do you guys have an opinion on Brunell's play?
Stinks.
Is there something we don't know about Jason Campbell? They traded up to get him in the first round, and he had lots of time to sit and learn. Any thoughts?
Trouble is, he now has to learn a new system. That's what I brought up earlier. I think there's a fear that he wouldn't have the handle on the system that is very complex and diverse. That's why they brought in Todd Collins. So I think that would be what would hold him back. Even though he has been around a while, he hasn't been around in Al Saunders' system that they brought in this year. So it'd be interesting to see how ready he is in that system. But I agree with
Brunell
the first
wasn't
part.
Either.
Brunell stinks. But he's a veteran. I mean, he's a little more. He's been in multiple systems. Might be a little more ready to get acclimated to that. And they talked a lot.
I think you're going to see Jason Campbell before the season's out.
I think you'll see Jason Campbell within the next couple weeks.
You guys discussed the penalty at the end of the Rams-Seahawks game and how the rules are fine. But I read online somewhere about a possible exploitation of this rule scenario. Time running out. A couple of receivers running deep patterns, a completion across the middle of the field, receiver tackled inbounds. At this point, when the ref spots the ball, the receiver stands over it, the other receiver lines up behind him and takes the snap. All other players just freeze where they are at, and the linemen don't need to run up field. When the wide receiver snaps the ball, the clock stops, and the offense is penalized 5 yards for an illegal formation, but the clock stops. That's interesting.
Wait, what was the... I'm a little behind.
So basically...
No, but what was the... I know I kind of heard the controversy in that game, but they thought the clock, there was going to be a 10-second runoff, and there wasn't. Why wasn't there?
I don't know.
No, not in this scenario, the real one.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't know. I didn't get to watch that game.
I didn't either. I didn't watch one snap this weekend.
I just saw the scores going on. I saw the Rams up 21-7, and all of a sudden they lost a stupid game.
Okay, relax. But
I said, Paul, they were never up that much.
Don't
yes, they were.
Don't you have to have... he's saying the penalty would be for an illegal formation because you don't have the guys in the line of scrimmage. The line never ran out.
Right.
So there wouldn't be a 10-second runoff for that? I would assume there'd be a 10-second runoff.
No, you know what it would be? It would be unsportsmanlike conduct because you can't just take the ball and snap it. That's...
Well, if it's spotted by the officials...
Once
the ball is spotted, you can snap it.
I don't. Ref spots the ball. Receiver stands over it.
It's a penalty, and I believe it would be a 10-second runoff.
The other receiver's lined up behind him and takes the snap. All other players just freeze where they are at the line and don't need to run up. I don't know.
I apologize to the guy in Iraq who is more prepared to discuss this
Afghanistan.
Topic than we. I thought it was Iraq.
Bagram, Afghanistan.
Oh, in Afghanistan, who clearly saw the game. Between those two teams.
Yeah, I don't know.
More prepared than us. I saw a little bit of the controversy, but I didn't see the exact play and the exact reasoning.
So the idea is to try to stop the clock? Is that, and you just take the penalty just to stop the clock?
The clock stopped in that game, and they thought there was going to be a 10-second runoff with the penalty that would end the game, and it didn't. And then he hit the field goal.
I don't know. He also says, Harry says, John Clayton is a friggin' goon. That bastard got the rumor mill cranked up about Randy Moss going to New England. By the time the info got to me, it was a done deal, and I got excited. Clayton did this last year, if I remember correctly, on some other issue, and started a big ruckus. I thought I had a Patriots question, but listening to your show for 2 hours every day pretty much answers them all. Oh, good.
Well,
the thing about Clayton, you know, what he said... Wasn't really.
What did he say? Because I thought Don Banks got it going.
It was, you know, it was like kind of like it could happen. Well, of course it could happen.
Anything could happen.
You know, but he phrased it in a way that made people start thinking that, you know, it, you know, was a possibility.
Don Banks wrote something. I know he listed teams that might be good fits. He wrote about the Patriots, kind of tying all the pieces together. He was on Mike Felger's show yesterday and said his understanding is there was at least. Early talks about Randy Moss. Now, I don't know whether we'll ever find that out or not, but when he wrote it, he thought there was at least a little bit of interest on both sides.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Don Banks is being used by one or two of the sides just to kind of gauge...
Could be.
...you know, what's going on out there.
What were you all smirking about over there when you were reading something?
The next email from Tom Casale.
Okay, go with it.
It says, I'm not going to the Combine on a prop plane, nor am I going to China on any kind of plane. Fred, book us a real flight. You and the Crafts can afford it. Me. And by the way, if we go to the Super Bowl, I will be sitting in the press box. Book it. All of a sudden, Tom is his ego is now surpassing Paul Perillo.
Right, those two are just run amok up there. It's amazing.
I might have to separate them.
Yeah, I think they're feeding into each other.
I mean, I don't do the seating plan, the seating chart for the Super Bowl.
Nobody does. It's the league.
The league does that. So, I mean, they give us basically two.
And that's why Andy was sitting in the last row of every stadium we've ever been
to. Of course, I have to have one because I have to file the story right as the game ends. You know,
and if you sat where I sat, you couldn't know what happened in the game because you're too far away to see what happened.
And Paul has to sit there because he's Paul. So, I mean,
Patriot Paul Perillo can't sit in the stands.
Tom, I hope they give us more than two seats, but if that's it, buddy, what can I tell you? Just be happy you're in the house.
It'll be me, Tom, and what Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes sitting in the bleachers.
Where is it, Miami this year? They'll do something, right? They can figure it out.
We'll be in the bleachers.
No, they won't. Not in Miami.
I'm sure they'll put a little tarp out and call that a roof. And it'll be 600 degrees. You'll get us there before noon, and I'll be sitting out in the sun for seven hours and look like
February.
A lobster.
It's February. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, it'll be sunny, and I'll get a sunburn for 6 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you have to get there 6 hours early.
Folks, do you hear this? He's complaining now that he's going to get a sunburn.
It was like 20 degrees last.
He's complaining that he's going to be in the Super Bowl and get a sunburn. And can you believe this? This is the
Notice Fred's not complaining because he's in the press box in a nice cushy seat.
This is what I... This is
you can actually see the field. I couldn't even see the field
from where
I was.
This is what I have to put up with. These pampered prima donnas. On this squad. I can't believe
it. I'm covering the Super Bowl, and I have the audacity to want to be able to see the game.
I remember a time when I ran this newspaper, and people paid me to work here.
And that was a time when the team stunk. It's a different time now.
Oh, my goodness.
We go to Super Bowls, and we need to be in the press box.
It's going
to
be too hot in February in Miami, and I might get a sunburn. Holy
do you or do you not get us there 7 hours early?
What do you mean? What do you mean I get you there?
Simple question. Do you get us
get,
there
get
7 hours?
Where?
The game. And then
for Super Bowl,
we walk in and we follow those little taped lines from the thing, and then all you guys, the big wigs, go to the press box, and Andy goes to the top row of the stadium and sits in the sun and gets a sunburn. Is this or is this not true?
That didn't happen in
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Sure as hell did.
You got a sunburn.
No, I was freezing. It was 32 degrees.
Well, dress for the weather.
I did. I had a jacket on, and I went down to see how much
sweatshirt. Chinese kid up there in a thin overcoat. He didn't complain.
I don't know why he didn't. But he didn't. But I was down in the pro shop trying to buy a sweatshirt until I found out they were $85 to buy a Super Bowl sweatshirt.
Oh, what do you
stay
expect?
Warm.
Meanwhile, the Patriots give you a whole grab bag full of stuff.
They had a little heater under our feet that we were passing around sharing, and we'd each get a turn.
Oh,
it was so
goodness.
Cold up there.
Oh, God.
You don't think it was cold if they were passing out heaters?
Oh, goodness. That's because they know you guys are...
This year, and I get a little bologna sandwich while you're probably eating filet mignon in the press box.
Yeah, we get a box lunch. Yeah. Oh, my good folks, can you believe this? This is prima donna.
Yeah, like you would have complained.
You know, personified right
Fred
here.
Fred doesn't know what it's like to be the low man on the totem pole at a Super Bowl.
I don't.
He rides in limos. He stays in the penthouse of the team hotel.
Oh.
And I'm at some flea bag hotel down the street.
By the way, I wasn't in the team hotel, just so you know. I got kicked out of there. Although, where I...
You sure as hell were not in the flea bag motel down the street I was in, where there was chalk marks outside my door from the latest murder.
That was a mistake, and everyone got moved out of there, as you well know.
Into a flea bag hotel next door.
No, no, no. Was it that bad? It was pretty good.
No. They both stunk.
Well, I mean, it's Jacksonville. It's not like it's the middle of New York where you have hotels.
Well, I thought it was the Super Bowl, where it was all luxury and good things.
Patriots had nothing to do with that.
I didn't say they did. Well,
you know?
They do a little.
You can only do with what, you know, play with what you're given.
All I'm saying is when you go to the Super Bowl, you live the glamour life of the Kirsch Chronicles.
Glamour life?
Mr. Kirsch Chronicles. I go to parties and tell people what it's like, while the rest of us are working our butts off in a flea bag motel.
These guys, I'm in the office all day long. I never leave the hotel. You guys are the ones that get out and experience what's going on.
I disagree with that. We're covering that from all angles.
I go...
Writing thousands and thousands of words of content, and then we have to go back to a bed that has bugs in it.
You know, by the way, it happens to be your job. But that's besides the point. I go one day to the media center to see the big press conference. And that's it. That's my only time I get to leave the hotel because I'm too busy managing what's going on.
Because you live in that hotel in the penthouse.
Yeah, in the penthouse.
With your fancy bathrooms, with TVs in the bathrooms, at the Golf World Resort or whatever it was.
Folks, you see what I have to put up with here? Do you getting a little understanding now of what I have to put up with here? I know a lot of you listening would work for me for free. So get your resumes in and, do it before the Super Bowl. Maybe you'll get to go to the Super Bowl, which, you know, apparently it's not good enough anymore for anybody on my staff.
Paul doesn't even go.
Tom hasn't even gone yet. He's already demanding to be in the press box.
That's what I think is funny. He's complaining. He hasn't even had to go through it once yet.
I mean, it's not like you miss anything by sitting outside the main. They call it the,
whoa.
The auxiliary.
Whoa. You miss everything.
What do you miss?
You miss everything. You can't. There's no place to see replays. You can barely see the field. You're watching ants run around. You don't find out when a boob popped out in the halftime show. You don't find out anything.
I didn't even know that until I got the photo from AP about 6 minutes after it happened. That thing was on the internet so fast. Janet Jackson's boob. I couldn't believe it. I mean, that was before YouTube and all that stuff, too.
It was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Not often that an actual nipple and a boob is exposed on regular TV.
I like the guy running out naked in the third quarter. That was better. That was more fun.
I couldn't tell. I was in the last row of Reliance Stadium.
Because you really didn't know what happened with Janet Jackson. It was kind of under. You didn't really understand what was going on.
I had to hear from the lady from People Magazine.
I didn't know what happened until I saw the photo. But the guy running out, that was classic. That was really good.
That was good. Wish I had seen it from the last row of Reliance Stadium.
And the trivia question is, who was the Patriot that knocked him to the ground?
Current Jet, Matt Chatham.
That's correct. That'll go down as a Patriots trivia question someday.
Forever.
Yep. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW. Join us tomorrow, and it's Picks Day. How do we do on our picks this week, Andy?
I don't know. Paul has the notebook.
He didn't go over with you?
I do know that you did better with the spreads than you did in just picking winners, which is very, very difficult to do.
I do what I can.
Far harder. Are we going to have a little crossover? John Rook's in the room.
Hey,
sporting his Providence Friars shirt.
How you doing?
It was the only one clean today.
Oh, okay.
With all your gigs, you must have a lot of free shirts.
That's how I get paid. Are you kidding me? It's all free shirt stuff.
I know how that can be.
I know.
So what's going on, John?
Same old. What about you guys? Anything good today?
Not really.
Not a lot of news coming out of the press conference and or locker room.
I didn't think that there probably would be. No Randy Moss sightings, huh?
No
Randy Moss. Too bad.
I know.
That would have given you a lot
to
talk about.
That would have sent, I think, a certain buzz, a certain shockwave through... A
certain buzz. That's
absolutely.
An interesting word to use with Randy Moss.
He's been known to get a certain buzz.
Yeah, I know.
But, you can look at it this way. All the current receivers, of course, they've probably heard the rumors and read the reports and the speculation and all this. And, you can't help but thinking how that might affect my job if a Randy Moss did come in. Now he doesn't come in. They don't know how hard, if at all, the Patriots made a move for him. But basically, they are what the Patriots have right now.
And
so
they'll
it's time to step up.
Brian Daboll, the wide receivers coach, is very, I think, good at trying to spin public perception and use that as a motivating factor for his receivers. And he will spin this that all the fans were clamoring for Randy Moss because they don't think you guys are good enough.
That's right.
They'll use that as a motivational tool to try to get this core up a couple.
They were very good when they played Carolina in the Super Bowl. That was a big thing. Carolina came in and said, the Patriots aren't used to getting somebody in their face, knocking them off the roots. And they really harped on that, to Deion Branch and Givens and all those guys, that these guys don't think that you can get open.
And I think they'll use this in a similar way.
I hope that's the case. I remember Doug Gabriel saying, when asked about Randy Moss being teammates, because they're obviously friendly and such, he said that Randy elevated everybody's game in Oakland, which kind of is alarming, actually, to think about that. But I understood what he was saying, so I wonder now if these guys realize that since he's not coming, if anybody has a tendency to even relax, because they won't have that inert pressure put on them by a player of his caliber fighting for playing time.
Now, I think Daboll will try to spin it and use it to say, everybody thinks you're not good enough, that we're going to be the weakness of this team, that cost this team victories. Every other part of this team's good enough. Everybody wanted Randy Moss so they could put him over the top. Why don't you guys get the job done, put us over the top?
There you go. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow.